evening, good coding campers. It's Monday, and that means it's time for MSDN Radio, the show that helps developers find what they're looking for. Good code, good conversation, but most of all, good time. So here to bring us into the week is our host, Mike Benkovich.
Hey, welcome back. It is now Monday. Today is the 10th of May. We are looking at this MSDN Radio, get you guys started, get going with what's new, what's happening inside of the technology stack. All from Microsoft. Today's show, we've got Steve Fox from the evangelism team talking about SharePoint, and so we've got a lot of great stuff going on. If you haven't been out to see what's going on, you can go out to msdn.microsoft.com, and from there you'll even see today's show listed on the front page, kind of some neat stuff. Otherwise, we've got lots of events going on. If you take a look at msevents.microsoft.com, there's a whole calendar of what's new and happening inside of the world. But I want to welcome you in to today. We've got some exciting things going on this week, but rather than stealing the thunder, I want to introduce our guest today, Steve Fox. Steve, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much, Mike, and thank you for having me on the show.
Hey, and we're glad to have you. We understand that there's some kind of a launch going on today?
This week, yeah. May 12th, the Office 2010 and SharePoint 2010 launch are going to be going on. Lots of interesting virtual activities I think will be kicking off. I think it's 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern time, but essentially this Wednesday, the 12th, SharePoint and Office will be launching.
And where is it launching at? Is there a particular place that's going to be the big city, or is it just the general availability?
I believe it's Big Apple.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So get out to New York and go out and see the whole show. That'll be exciting. Are you going to be there?
I am unfortunately not going to be there. I have got lots of things going on here in Redmond to keep me busy. But I'll certainly be virtually logged in and watching the launch as it happens. Very exciting stuff, though.
Well, that'll be some fun stuff. Just for our listeners, if you want to download today's recording, you can get to it from tinyurl.com/msdnradio-8. Also, I created a RSS subscription for all of the shows that we've done, and that's at tinyurl.com/msdnradio. We do have upcoming shows with John Durant and also Mark Rasinovich in the next couple weeks. Those links are out on MSDN Radio as well, so you can go out and listen to that. And then we've got links to the last few shows that we've done. This is the 8th radio show. It's a weekly broadcast that we go out and try to bring in the Ask the Expert segment and really make it something where you can get information about what's going on. There is a way that you can participate in today's show, and I want to kind of make sure that everyone knows that if you want to be on the show and ask questions and talk with us, we've got a phone line that you can call in on. And what you do is you register for the show so that you're part of the live recording of it, and then we give you the number. Once you get that number, dial it in, and then they'll ask you for your name and where you're from, and then press the *8 to let us know that you've got a question. And so we're going to get into those questions here in a little bit. But first, Steve, I'm kind of curious. We've been talking about SharePoint. What's exciting about SharePoint?
SharePoint 2010?
Yeah,
I know there's a ton of stuff that's exciting about it. So I think, you know, I've been around SharePoint for a number of years now. When I think about the changes from, let's say, SharePoint 2003 to 2007, to 2010, I think specific to the audience that I deal with on a fairly regular basis, there's a ton of great features built into SharePoint 2010. And I think just from the standpoint of being a developer platform, I think it's more fully realized in SharePoint 2010. So it's I think in that sense it's exciting. Now, specifically when you kind of peel back the layer of the onion there and what lies beneath it, I think, you know, generally the way we've been talking about SharePoint 2010 and how it's exciting for developers is threefold. The first is, you know, in terms of just the platform capabilities that are built into it. You know, second of all, it's the fact that you have a much more flexible deployment option when you're looking at building for SharePoint 2010. And the third thing is, you've got tools out of the box now in Visual Studio, so we have this idea of an increased developer productivity. And I think that's the big thing you're going to see. And when I think about just kind of those three high-level areas and what that brings to SharePoint 2010, I think it brings accessibility for a number of .NET and ASP.NET developers who are out there thinking about SharePoint and their organizations, getting SharePoint inside the organization and deploying it. I think when I think about the services, I think about things like, hey, now you have WCF baked into native support for SharePoint. You have, the deploy directly from the tools into SharePoint. You've got this ability to integrate Silverlight with SharePoint and so on and so forth. So, and we can walk through some of this as we go through some. I know you have a couple of questions you want to ask me. But in general, though, I think it's really exciting. I truly feel that SharePoint 2010 is more of a developer platform than I've ever seen it before. I think it's exciting to see that in the tools and get that F5 debugging experience that you haven't really had there before.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of interesting things that are going to drive the developers, make it easier for them to go out and build SharePoint solutions.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, the first thing is accessibility, right? The fact that you can crack open a VS project and you see the SharePoint templates right there, that's the first thing. And I think the nice thing is that in this release, the marketing and our organization, all the different organizations around Microsoft have been working together to really bring the developer experience to life. And what I mean by that is, the marketing organization has helped put together a great virtual machine that you can download. We've got some training kits that you can put on those down on that virtual machine and just get up and running very quickly. So you don't necessarily need to wait for your organization to have SharePoint deployed. You can get a test environment today and begin working and testing all the good stuff that comes with SharePoint 2010.
So that SharePoint development environment, is that I assume that's a publicly available VPC people can download?
It is, yeah. If I actually have a posting on my blog, and Paul Stubbs has a posting on his blog. There's a number of us out there, but if you go to our blogs, you can basically click on the link. It'll take you to the Microsoft Download Center.
Mm-hmm.
There's some instructions on that page where you just download the Microsoft VM. You have to have Windows Server 2008 R2 installed because it requires Hyper-V, but once you get that VM downloaded, spin up the VM and get those training kits installed, you're up and running. And I think that's probably an easier alternative than we've had necessarily in the past where out of the gate, you know, we haven't had all of these things available for developers. So I think that's really, really exciting. So not only the experiences that you get built into the product and built into Visual Studio, but also the fact that, you know, Microsoft is doing a lot more to help the developer community get up and running very quickly.
So that includes all of the bits for SharePoint and also the Visual Studio tools, the SharePoint Designer, and content?
Yes, the VM has all that on it. It's time bombed.
Uh-huh.
I believe it's like 180-day time bomb, but that, I think, would get you started. And I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe there are plans to get a revved version of that VM out to the public at some point. So this one, I think, that's out there today is based on the beta bits, and you can get one very shortly here that will be on RTM.
Now, sometimes you can do the hands-on labs where it's actually virtually hosted somewhere else, and then you can go in and do stuff. Are they planning to do that for this as well?
Yeah, in fact, I believe you can do that today. If you go to MSDN, there's a SharePoint, I can't recall, I think it's on my blog, but definitely on MSDN there's some virtual offerings there for you as well. And you know, it's depending on what you want in terms of experience. You've got the MSDN option, which is great. You can get started. I think there's, you know, 10 or 12 or 14 different hands-on labs that you can work through. If you're new to SharePoint 2010,
mm-hmm.
Then, you know, there's Channel 9, which has some great, we have a training kit that we've built and put there as well. That's more 300 levels, so if you want to get your head and hands wrapped around those hands-on labs, you can go to Channel 9. And get those as well. And again, one, you can do it in the virtual environment with MSDN, or you can download that VM and install the training kits on the VM and go to time with that.
Well, that'll be great. I've been playing around with the bits since they were beta and then downloaded the RTM, because you can get the download bits from MSDN. And I was looking for, okay, well, where's SharePoint Foundation and where is Moss? And there's no Moss download, or at least I don't see it.
No, I believe it's so Moss goes away, right? Just to talk a bit about the nomenclature for
mm-hmm.
SharePoint 2010.
And we're not talking like on a rolling stone, Moss.
No.
Microsoft Office SharePoint Services, right?
No. Essentially, we've moved away from the rolling Rolling Stone. So basically, what you'll see in 2010 are a couple of different SKUs. So in 2007, you had Windows SharePoint Services, which inherently shipped as a part of Windows. And then you had Microsoft Office SharePoint Server, hence MOS. It was interesting that there was a little bit of confusion sometimes when you talked about those two things when you're introducing SharePoint to new folks who hadn't really been introduced to it. So when we think about SharePoint 2010, the analog to WSS, Windows SharePoint Service, is SharePoint Foundation. So that's kind of the baseline free SKU that you can get. And then the second one is SharePoint Server. So SPS, I guess, would be the acronym. But SharePoint Server 2010. There are obviously other SKUs that go along with that, such as FAST and, you know, SharePoint for Internet sites and SharePoint Online, which will, you know, ship a little later on the year. But these types of things. But the two baseline SKUs that you have are SharePoint Foundation 2010 and SharePoint Server 2010.
So the SharePoint Enterprise is basically going to include the, like the slide libraries and all those other components that used to be included in the MOS.
Yeah, but there's actually, you know, when you look at SharePoint Foundation, there are a number of features that are built into it that weren't necessarily part of WSS. So, and I know they're looking to have more value add in that SharePoint Foundation SKU. So, for example, I mean, you look at the BDC was something that shipped with MOS. Now you can get part of that experience in SharePoint Foundation. So there's, I think there's a lot you can do with SharePoint Foundation, I think is my meta point here. So definitely encourage you to, you know, if you have, you know, just Windows Server 2008 R2 and you want to get started, download that VM and get started with it because I think you'll find there's a lot there for you.
I've got some questions because, you know, I've got a beef with you, Steve. And I got to tell you, the last two years, I've been doing SharePoint conferences talking about how do you integrate Silverlight into SharePoint, and it's been a nice one-hour-long seminar to show people how to do that. You guys took that away from me. So what's the story there?
Oh, we made it easier. Come on. Because believe me, in 2007, one of the biggest hurdles that we had with developers trying to integrate Silverlight and SharePoint was just getting the environment set up. You know, there was so many things you had to do. You had to go in and tweak the web.config. There was some configurations on the server you had to set. And even though they were documented out there in the blogosphere, they weren't necessarily concerted, really well documented, you know, until a little later on in the cycle for 2007. And so that was a little difficult. Now, obviously, maybe you enjoyed that pain, Mike, I'm not sure, but in 2010, basically what you have now is you have Silverlight support out of the box. So what does that mean? It means that you can create a Silverlight application, and you could, if you wanted to, you could drop it into a document library, and there's a Silverlight web part that you could load up, and using just one of the configurations that you get with that web part is basically a URL, which points back to your Silverlight application, your ZAP file. You could load that in, and that would expose your Silverlight application. But the point is, you don't have to go in and play around with a web.config file or play around with a server-side configurations. You know, it's supported out of the box for you. And the other thing is, if you go to my blog, there's a new project template that we just built from our group. It's the Silverlight web part. And so what that does for you is you can basically, it's a Visual Studio extensibility project template. And so you can load it up, and then you can file new up the project template, and then you'll actually get a SharePoint web part and a Silverlight application combined in a solution that's all pre-configured. And so all you do is add the code for your Silverlight application, and then you can deploy it, and the project template knows what to do with all your code. It just puts it in the right place. And so it deploys it as a nice custom web part that is fully configured. So there's lots of things. We've made this so much easier, and, you know, getting me started on Silverlight's probably the worst thing to do here because I think there's a lot of potential for Silverlight with SharePoint that has yet to be realized. We're seeing more and more uptick here in the market with developers because there's that really nice augmented user experience that you can build into SharePoint. There's the great, you know, SharePoint infrastructure that sits behind it. You know, so one example for, you know, when we're talking about developer ease and some of the new platform services, the client object model, right?
Right.
the client object model, new remote API. You can use that with Silverlight as well as .NET and JavaScript. But Silverlight, you can build these great applications where now you have a remote API that can kind of tangle with the server object or the SharePoint object model. And so you can build very compelling apps and have that connection in place from a remote client application. So that's a nice thing. So, but we've made your job easier, Mike.
Well, you know, I used to be a consultant. That's why I'm kind of, you know, saying, hey, there's a lot of us that were out there, you know, counting on the ability to, you know, have to obfuscate and come up with good excuses for justification.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe it is a good thing. Maybe it is.
I think so. I think you don't want to get too carried away. I know that sometimes you may forego certain browser-based functionality the more Silverlight you use.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's, you know, a careful design can really, really augment your SharePoint site in very interesting ways. I mean, you know, couple the fact that you have support for Silverlight with the client object model and the other web service capabilities built into SharePoint, I think you have a significant jump on what you had available in 2007.
Well, that begs the question is, you know, that I always get asked every time I come in and do a session on SharePoint is people say, well, why and when would I build on top of SharePoint instead of just doing a straight ASP.NET?
That's a great question. I mean, I think one of the key things, and this is personal opinion, I think you get a lot out of the box with SharePoint, right? And so SharePoint itself is built on ASP.NET. So the first thing is you're not necessarily relearning and retooling, right? If you're an ASP.NET developer today, since SharePoint's built on top of ASP.NET, you will see a lot of things that you're familiar with. For example, you could go in and take a VS, you know, web part project, you know, add all those typical ASP.NET web controls that you're used to and you love, and you can build, you know, web parts with that and deploy that into SharePoint as a custom application. So, I mean, I think the first thing fundamentally is it's built on it, so there's a familiar transfer of skills. The second thing is, you're looking at there's an abundance of features that you would get with SharePoint that you may have to build otherwise in ASP.NET, right? And so when you look at the environment today in the enterprise, and more so you're going to see in the small and medium-sized business market, these guys are looking at how do we collaborate more effectively? How do we get ourselves up and running quickly with a site? And then adding customization on top of that. So I think when you look at just baseline SharePoint versus ASP.NET, I think, you know, it's not necessarily an either or, but I think it's what do you want to get at the end of it. If you want a fully collaborative environment where you want to get projects spun up, you want to leverage the features and not necessarily have to go and rebuild them, then SharePoint's definitely a viable option. The other thing is there's that transfer of skills, right? So if you want to take SharePoint and then further extend it, not only do you have the tools in VS 2010 and a lot of the platform capabilities built into SharePoint 2010, you have that ability to do it in such a way that you're familiar. There's an F5 debugging experience. It's just a much better and seamless experience for the developer. So I think there's two ways to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So from a developer's perspective, I mean, you're just literally starting out on the shoulders of giants if you start with an existing framework as opposed to building it all yourself.
Well, I mean, I just think there's something there, right? And I think it does take a little while to wrap your head around it because you have to have used SharePoint to understand what's there. But I think once you do that, you begin to realize that there's an infrastructure and you can leverage that infrastructure and use that as your platform.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, is the interesting part.
Well, we do have a question in here, and this is Phil down in Portland has a question, something about OData. Phil, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Just want to know, you know, how OData fits into the developer's toolkit, you know, to make it easier to work with the SharePoint data.
Great question. So OData is an exciting area, and when we look at 2010, you'll see some OData support out of the box. Now, what that means is if you look specifically, there's a set of REST APIs and REST support in SharePoint 2010. So, for example, what that means is I can go ahead and I can use this REST API, which is the listdata.svc within the SharePoint root, and you can leverage that WCF server.svc, the REST capabilities built in there to actually interact with SharePoint data. Now, you can also interact with data from Excel documents, which gets very interesting because you can do a number of different things there. You could grab data from an Excel document. You could pull it in and programmatically leverage it. You could pull it into a Word document and leverage it. Or you could expose it in a web page and leverage it that way. But I think that's one baseline way, and that's built into SharePoint. Now, where OData to me gets interesting is you kind of look beyond the boundaries of SharePoint. And just sort of finish up on the tooling side, you know, if you're using the Visual Studio tools, you'll be able to leverage a lot of the capabilities to use that REST API in the context of developing for SharePoint. Now, where it gets interesting is if you look at SharePoint and look beyond the walls when we're looking at a lot of the different APIs and consumer markets and different type of markets that are actually exposing OData APIs into their data on the web. So, for example, things like Netflix, where let's say you want to build a consumer app that's designed for a SharePoint internet-facing site, all of a sudden OData becomes an integration artifact and makes that experience very much tenable because you've got, let's say, a little Netflix application that you want to expose inside a consumer-facing SharePoint site. And I use Netflix. It may not be the most pervasive the use example, but something that could be very interesting just from a data perspective. But you've got the ability to actually integrate OData sources and pull those into SharePoint just from a perspective of accessing those data sources and building applications within the Visual Studio framework. So I think two perspectives. One, definitely have the REST API and List Data Service that allows you to interact with that list data from within SharePoint. From outside of SharePoint, because you have that OData perspective that you can build into .NET applications, you can pull that data in and expose that in things like web parts or Silhouette applications and, you know, kind of create a nice augmented UI in that respect as well. So I think there's a couple of really interesting things you can do with OData.
Okay. So from a developer's side, I mean, it's literally taking SharePoint, treating it as that list data as a host for other applications. Right?
I think that's one way to look at it. It's the SharePoint data is an endpoint, right? And if you have lists, you can access those lists in a RESTful manner. You can access, you know, data inside of an Excel document in, you know, a lightweight manner. And then from the outside perspective, it's accessing web data and pulling it in to, let's say, use it in an application in that way as well.
Okay. Then from the SharePoint perspective, I mean, it can be a consumer. It can also be a presentation engine for the data and drive things. And you know, the thing about the OData and the RESTful endpoint that I see is that, you know, to go out and program against SharePoint, you used to have to know, was it list.asmx, and be able to talk through the SOAP protocol and create all kinds of code to do it. Now you can just add a reference to the list data in your VTI bin directory, right?
Yeah, I mean, that definitely, and that begs, and that's a good point because it begs another thing to chat about right quick is the fact that when you're interacting with SharePoint data, you have a number of different options. And when you were using the list.asmx service or the ASMX service, basically, you would be working with XML, and you would be having to drive into finding a specific field and then pulling that data back and creating, you know, X documents, whatever that you would then have to, you know, query. I think the interesting thing in SharePoint 2010 is you have the server-side object model. You have the lists web service, list.asmx. You have, you know, the listdata.svc. You know, you have the client object model. And each of these improves the data programmability model against SharePoint in different ways. So you can continue on the path if you really liked the list.asmx, or if you have, you know, legacy code that you want to pull into SharePoint 2010, you can continue to do that if you want to. But otherwise, you have other options such as the strongly typed way of interacting with, you know, SharePoint lists or using the client object model, which somewhat abstracts the, you know, the CAML queries away from you, at least if you're doing high-level querying against data. But the point is, you have options. Some of those options are strongly typed, some of them are not, but it allows you to have a heck of a better, you know, data programmability experience when you're working with SharePoint 2010. So I think that's just blanket great, because that was one of the difficulties, I think, in 2007 was trying to get at that specific field and read write into that field build applications where you didn't have bloated code.
And we got one last question in the queue here, and that's Adam down in Tacoma. Adam, you got a question about Silverlight or something?
Yes, thank you. How easy is it to do Silverlight, and can it consume data?
Yes, so it's very, very easy to do Silverlight. So, for example, if you have your SharePoint site up and running and you've already built a Silverlight application, and you can just basically take that ZAP file, you can put it in a document library, and just copy the shortcut, and then basically in your web page you insert a new web part, and I believe it's in the media web part. I don't know. You'll be able to find it in the web part gallery there. And then you just click Silverlight web part, click add. It'll ask you for the URL to your Silverlight application, and you click OK. Now, that's the baseline experience. It'd be super easy just to go ahead and add that. But if you want to get more fancy, as I mentioned, you can download. If you check out my blog, there's a link on my blog to the most recent Silverlight web part that we've built. And you can download that, and then you get the SharePoint web project template, and you get the Silverlight project template. You could actually, it's got some code spit in it that actually interacts with any list that you have and exposes those lists in a little Silverlight application, so it shows you how you can use the client object model just out of the box as a way to kind of get up and running. So to your questions, very, very easy in 2010, so two thumbs up for that. And in terms of data programmability, you can use the client object model. You could use the Lists web service to do either of those things to integrate with data. And I believe REST is supported as well. But I've definitely tried client object model and Lists, and I've been only playing around with the REST a little bit. So,
I'm going to be playing around with the REST full consumption of data from the Silverlight web part. And I'm actually going to try to schedule out some webcasts on that whole thing. But cool. You've mentioned it two or three times here, Steve, your blog. Where is the address of your blog so that people can get to it?
http://blogs.msdn.com /Steve_Fox, F-O-X.
Just like the Fox, the fabulous Mr. Fox. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Steve, I want to thank you for coming on, and we really appreciate you taking the time to answer these questions. And if people want more information, like he said, his blog is blogs.msdn.com/Steve_Fox. We are going to be trying to get some feedback from you as to what you think we can do to improve this show. We do this on a weekly basis. We're trying to find guests that people are interested in hearing, and we try to schedule the shows and make this into something that's useful, get your week kicked off right. So if you have some feedback, we've got a survey form. If you're on live meeting and you're actually participating, you can go out to that and just click on the registration. Give us some feedback as to what you thought of today's show. Also, if you aren't listening to this live, you're listening to it recorded, you can send me an email, and that's mike.bankovich@microsoft.com. And it's also on my website, which is bankotips.com. There's a link that says Talk to Mike. That'll take you right out to an email, so that'll bring you right in. Now, next week we have Mark Rasinovich coming on. He's going to talk about Windows. He is the founder of Sys Internals and is a Microsoft Technical Fellow. So we're real excited to have Mark come on. And after that, we've got John Durant coming on talking about the office and the integration and all the cool stuff that's going on. So watch MSDN.com for more details on upcoming stuff, and you can go out and subscribe to it by going out to the podcast, which is tinyurl.com/MSDN Radio. So with that, I want to thank you for spending some time with us today.
So that's it for this Monday. Go to MSDNradio.com and click the registration link if you want to participate in the next show. Until then, happy coding.